to its full capacity, we'll be on there all the time.
Hey.
Just having a pre...
That without even talking to you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Not many, but I wasn't getting any before, so some is better than none.
For sure. That's where I'm at on mine. How many people are you following per day?
Roughly around 500. Just because if I do much more than that, then I can't keep up with the Twitter messages by right. myself and all the other things that we need to do. So I'm just kind of keeping it at that. And also, I was asking Jason and the other guys the other day, you know, we talk about the headroom. So when you have to, how many people you unfollow to be able to then follow more back. I'm getting to the point now where I'm getting to that following 5,000 limit. So I don't know what's going to happen when my numbers get closer and closer to that 5,000. Are they going to let me follow more than 5,000?
What's your Twitter handle?
Huh?
What's your handle?
At Lynn's Crichton, capital L Y N Z C capital C R I C H T O N.
I don't understand half the letters you just told me. I figured it out. Okay, yeah. So that's what's going to happen. Once you get to following 5,000, there you're going to get like a note. I don't know how it's going to work in Jason's app, but in Tweepy it would say you can't follow any more people at this time.
Yeah.
So to clear the headroom, what you'll want to do probably is go through and unfollow everybody that's not following you back. Right. And then normally when we're at this lower level, you kind of have to follow ones that are following you back but haven't been active for a certain amount of time.
Right.
Once you get past that 5,000, you know, that really stops being an issue. But as you're bumping into that ceiling, that's kind of the way to get past that. I don't know if Jason's – I finally got in on that, but I haven't played with it yet. If he has a way to look at those that are following you back and determine how long it's been since they tweeted last. Is there something like that inside of Jason's app?
When you're following fresh tweets.
Can you look at a list of the people that are following you back and then find out how long it's been since they've tweeted?
I don't know is the honest. You'd probably be able to actually, because it has got the filters on it. I just haven't done it that way around.
Okay.
So cool. Yeah, you're probably right. So then what you're saying, I need to follow the people who are following me, but I'm not following them.
No. We'll start by unfollowing everybody that's not following you back.
Including even people that like the artists that I want to follow and everything. So if they're not following me back, just unfollow everybody.
They're of no use to you if they're not following you back. You can always put them in a list so that you can still keep track of them.
Yeah.
But as far as this goes, because clearing that headroom to get past that 5,000 mark does require a little bit of ingenuity. You kind of have to, it's like, you know, when the ship is sinking and you have to get rid of all the dead weight. Yeah. All right. This is a situation where you have to get rid of absolutely all the dead weight to get past that.
Okay.
So start by unfollowing everybody that's not following you back.
Right.
And then depending on where you're at with that, what you'll have to do is follow back some people or unfollow some people that are following you back, which of course you don't want to unfollow people that are actually you're engaging with. So the way I determine that is by looking at how long it's been since they've tweeted last. So say there's people that are following you back, say there's maybe 500 people that are following you back, but they haven't tweeted in the last 10 days. You know, they're not really active on Twitter, so it's not really going to be a big deal if you unfollow them.
Yes.
So if you're going to have to unfollow people that are following you back, it's best to unfollow the ones that aren't that active on Twitter.
So the best thing to do here is to get as close to the 5,000 as I can and then, like, do this big unfollow dump.
Right. Once you start getting noticed that you can't follow any – once you actually hit the ceiling –
yeah.
I don't know what I know in Twitter it'll say you just can't follow any more people, or in Tweepy it'll just say you can't follow any more people at this point. I don't know if there'll be some warning that comes back from Jason.
There is.
So you've hit the ceiling before?
Yes, but like I said, so I was trying to do, like, you know, follow and unfollow 500 odd a day so I can keep up. But sometimes I'm like, oh, there's quite a big bulk here, so I'll just go up to 700 and then I'd get a notification saying. You can't. Although I'm not sure, to be fair, if it was specifically from, I mean, it is through Jason's app, but I'm not sure if it was Jason's app stopping me or if it was Twitter stopping me.
Yeah, it's Twitter that'll stop you.
Yeah.
So, and because I see you're only like 28 below the ceiling right now. So you should probably, I expect, or you're already bumping into it as you follow people. So at this point, I would take a little bit of time to clear out that headroom. So don't worry about the following for right now. Just unfollow everybody that's not following you back, and then unfollow everybody, you know, go in there and look at those that are following you back by, and organize that by how long it's been since they tweeted, and you know, keep it as far out as you can, but you're going to have to keep closing that gap a little bit until you get the room that you need.
Yeah.
If you can get yourself down to like following 4,000,
yep,
then you'll be right at about even, because I see you've got 3,700 followers. So whatever it takes to get you down to about 4,000, and then resume with the following and unfollowing the even amount.
Once I'm over the 5,000 threshold.
You're doing that, bump into the ceiling again in a couple weeks or whatever. But your follower should be up by that point. So you might have to go through that process a couple times until the followers get past 5,000. But once you break through that line, it stops really being an issue. And once you've actually cleared that room by following some people that are following you back, it's easier to keep, you have that headway, you know, that headroom on an ongoing basis. So it doesn't really continue to be an issue for you as you go on. It's just to get past this one particular hump, you kind of have to clear all the dead weight you can until you get past it.
Is there another limit after you're following 5,000? Or after 5,000?
Yeah, it's like, and this changes. It's usually like 10% or some percentage or whatever. So you may run into that again. And again, this would be the same way to, you'd use the same way to get past that. But once you've cleared out some people that are following you back by unfollowing them, as I just described, then that issue doesn't really come up so much anymore.
Okay.
Because you already have that little bit of extra headroom. So if it does happen, use the same strategy to clear the headroom, but ideally it probably shouldn't, but it may a little bit as you get up. But once you pass like 10,000 or so, everyone I've worked with, or any of the accounts I've worked with directly, have had enough headroom at that point that it stops being an issue altogether. Yeah. You're able to keep those numbers even, because ideally what you want to do is keep the numbers even anyway.
Yeah.
So once you've kind of cleared out a little bit of that extra dead weight from unfollowing people that just haven't tweeted in a while, it's easier to keep it even. And if you're keeping it even, then that never becomes an issue. The only way is after that 5,000 barrier is they have a percentage of more than you're following that you're allowed to follow, or whatever. It's a percentage that they go by, but you never even touch that if you're keeping it even. Make sense?
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you. I think quite a few people on Jason's app are going to be getting to that point relatively soon anyway.
Yep. Cool. Well, that's good. And I'm going to be playing with it soon. Hopefully the next couple of days. I'm a bit disheveled at the moment. last week was pretty much a loss for me. I had extra grandma duty. I forgot it's the week that my mom goes down to Texas to pick up my grandma's twin sister, because they had to celebrate their birthday up here every September. They're turning 93 this year. But so I had extra grandma duty plus a couple doctor's appointments and stuff, and I just didn't get anything done. And then going into my weekend, we went camping, but I was sick the whole time. Like, I still have this earache that's killing me, plus a toothache on the same side. And I was, had a really upset stomach the whole time I was camping. But I figured, well, if I'm going to be sick, I'd rather be sick laying in a hammock in the woods than sitting on my couch. So it was still okay. But yesterday I still felt like crap. I managed to get out, you know, it was my anniversary, but I managed to get out, take Yola to dinner and go do some shopping for baby stuff. But couldn't even take her to a movie. We wanted to go to a movie in the evening, but I was just like done. I was like, I just got to lay down. And so today I just barely rolled out of bed at like 11, still kind of groggy. So I'm waking up to like a bunch of fires to put out with the business and a bunch of catching up to do. So I'm glad to have to actually, you know, see you guys and be able to spend some time with you. That always cheers me up, makes me feel better. But I woke up to a real shit storm and I'm still not feeling that great. So it might be a couple of days till I get caught up enough to where I can get in and play with Jason's app, but I'm eager to get in there because I'm at the point now where I'm at the Twitter section of the map 2.0 lessons. So hopefully I can ideally get that all transcribed and get the videos recorded towards the end of September. And then if I can actually get this map 2.0 launched, finally, many of my problems should kind of disappear.
Yeah.
Should is the key word there. So we'll see. But yeah, so that's good that Jason's app is shaping up so well. I met with him, I think last week, about finalizing, you know, getting out of the beta zone and into the actual appiness of it. And we're optimistic about how things are going. So what did you win this week, Linz, or in the last couple of weeks, I guess, since it's been a minute?
Oh, man. Loads. I started branching out into doing some gigs. I think I mentioned last time I was doing food festivals and music festivals, and from each one that I've done, I've managed to get like another two gigs because people in the crowd have been like, oh my God, you do private events? And I'm like, yeah.
Nice.
Which is great. But it just means I feel a little bit like I haven't spent very much time on my own music and my own stuff. And I'm literally just, you know, trying to keep up with Twitter, my mailing list. So in a way, the win is great because I'm doing gigs and I'm getting bookings and whatever, which is one side. But I don't really know. So when I joined the map in April, I had 10 people on my email list. I now have like 250-ish. I had 200 followers on Twitter, you've just seen. And so my goal was when my kids start going to school, so one of them starts next week and another one in a year, I wanted to spend all this time to just build my tribe and sort of, you know, work in advance of myself and not worry too much about, like, making money and selling music and whatever, so that I'd have an audience ready for when I am ready for that. But now I'm like, man, if these people are joining my mailing list, then I need to deepen my relationship with them somehow. So what should I be doing anything else like now?
Just, yeah. I mean, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming and it doesn't have to take up all your time. Right now, it seems like the real world stuff, your audience there is really growing quickly. So maybe focus, you know, your time. I know. So I guess this is coming into some time constraints for you because you need to work on developing what you're doing in playing for people and these shows that you're doing. That ultimately is the top priority. So if that is growing right now, that's where you want to focus your time. You know, maybe you scale back how much you're doing with the Twitter growth to make time for that. You want to continue and focus on your email list. Of course, that's still a priority, but get these subscribers from the shows you're playing live.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to make sure that you're prioritizing that, because that sort of growth doesn't always come, and you certainly can't flip it on and off like a switch like you can with Twitter. So, yeah. So definitely take advantage of the fact that you're getting that attention right now. Use your, you know, grow your email list, focus on the growth there from the people that you're meeting in person, because those subscribers are even more valuable than the ones that you get on Twitter.
Okay.
So even it may be a smaller amount, it's people that you're actually engaging with in person. So they're more valuable. Focus on that more, maybe scale back what you're doing on Twitter, but keep with the regular updates of what's going on in your world. The people you met on Twitter are still going to be excited to hear about these things from you.
Yeah.
So look, the key thing with the email list is maintenance right now, as far as emailing regularly, getting your email out once a week. That'll be fine. You don't necessarily need to be bringing in lots of Twitter subscribers right now. Maybe you either reduce the amount of auto DMs that go out on Twitter or turn it off altogether, but continue with the Twitter growth, because that, you know, you can do the following and unfollowing in a few minutes a day. You might as well keep growing the numbers on Twitter even if you don't have time to engage with them directly, you can still, as you noticed, get those subscribers that come in without even talking to you.
Okay.
That's a key part for me right now, because I don't have time for the DM, but I've had the Twitter growth with the Schwitter machine going, and I've been getting a couple dozen subscribers a week just from the people that see my bio. I have a strong enough message on my header image and in my bio, you know, the one that says I won't help you get signed, but if you want to take ownership, click here. That really resonates with people. So continuing to develop that message can be really handy, and you can get those passive, you know, subscribers that come through without any extra effort on your part. So that's worthwhile. You can limit the amount of DMs that go out, or like I said, turn it off altogether if that takes up too much of your time without necessarily turning off the growth of Twitter in general. Mm-hmm. But focus your effort on developing, you know, your performances, your house shows. You know, if you're starting to get a lot of demand for those, then you can start raising your prices for that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. So, maybe you weren't going to focus on making money until later, but if you're making money, you don't want to really turn that down.
Yeah.
And if you're making enough money to the point where it's becoming demanding of your time, then that's the reason why you need to raise your price, which increases, you know, that just means that you're providing that kind of value. So you're making money ahead of schedule. Certainly nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, focus on the growth that you're getting in person right now. Make the adjustments that you need to online as far as balancing your time. And this all puts you really ahead of schedules where you had, compared to where you had planned to be. And it focuses more of your time on making music, which is why we're doing this all in the first place.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That makes a lot of sense. So thank you for that.
Cool. That's awesome. That's some serious wins.
Yay.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Lynn, do you have a product right now?
Do I have what, sorry?
CDs to sell or anything like that?
I've literally done one EP. It's on my website. It's on Bandcamp. It sells mostly through when people come onto the mailing list, because then in my welcome funnel, it's always there to click on, you know, and any email that I send out, it's at the bottom. So that's there.
I'm wondering if you could get somebody to video your live, your house concerts, and put together a Patreon for you know, $5 a month or whatever. People automatically get the video of your next house concert, something like that.
Yes, that is a good idea.
Yeah, I love the Patreon model. You know, some people can skip right past if you've got enough interest. You know, I usually recommend doing an actual crowdfunder first, but there's no reason you can't skip right past it if there's the interest in it and if you can have the consistent output for it. So that
why do you think doing a crowdfund first?
Generally, just because it's an opportunity to develop all the school skills and go through that step-by-step process that I teach in the program. And then once you've done that, you can apply those skills towards launching your Patreon channel.
Right.
So
Patreon, okay. Yeah.
Just generally for skill development, I guess, and to have something under your belt. But, you know, as Paul suggests, and as I'm saying, you don't necessarily have to do it in that order. If you have the interest to go to build a Patreon. Another reason is because if you have taken your community through the crowdfunding process once, you've already shown them what you can offer them and how you can delight them through the process.
And deliver
as well. So that gives you more of a foundation to build your Patreon channel out of. But there's, you know, there's no reason not, if you feel, it all comes down to knowing your audience, right? The audience that you specifically have. So if there's enough interest there to start directly with a Patreon campaign or, you know, channel instead of doing a crowdfunding campaign ahead of time, that's a choice. That's certainly a choice that's there for you. And I know people that have done it that way.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun on it.
I was just thinking
if there's a continual stream of these house concerts, that's a resource that most of us actually don't have.
Uh-huh, exactly. And I agree with that, because the biggest key to doing well with the Patreon style is that you have consistent output. And most people don't have that. But if you've got these concerts that you're doing regularly, if you know you're going to have one every month, there's no reason that that couldn't be a reward level for the for a Patreon channel.
To video it and give that as a reward, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if it makes any difference. That I'm not doing house concerts at the moment, although that is definitely on my to-do list for when I have enough people and want for that later on, because it's definitely something that I'm interested in. At the moment, it's literally just almost like festivals, local festivals that I go to. They pay, though, so.
So kind of what I was thinking Paul was getting at when he first started was that you could get a video, you know, video the next few festivals that you do and put together a little promo pack and start selling the house concerts through your emails.
Oh, partly so people can see what I do live? Like?
Yes, exactly. So put together a little promo pack. Here's me at these festivals. Would you like this in your house? You know, and this could be something that you sell in every single email.
Thanks. That's a good idea.
So, and then as you develop that and start having, you know, these house concerts, and if that becomes a regular thing, that's something you could use to fuel your Patreon style campaign.
Okay, Philip Quintas.
Yes.
Nice to see you online. Can I ask you a question, please?
Absolutely.
Because they're talking about recording, and you are the guru of recording, right?
I'm pretty good at it.
So let's say, for example, I'm little old me in the UK and I don't have any contacts of anybody who can video something nicely and properly. While I'm playing, I can't really do it myself.
Correct.
What do I do?
Okay, you want to partner with somebody who is also at that festival, maybe playing around the same time you are. That's an example. And you could kind of swap. You film theirs, they film yours. That's one way. And an iPhone is really all that you need to get pretty good quality video. What would be great is to have the soundboard recording to synchronize up with it, because it will sound a lot better and you can get all crazy with your angles. You can get super close and far away and it won't affect the quality of the sound if you've got it recorded, you know, through the soundboard. That's my personal kind of pet peeve. The sound on video is usually horrible at live concerts unless it's done properly. And usually they are, if they've got a PA system, it's not that much of a stretch to record right off of that. Now, I don't want to get too complicated with that, because yes, you can just turn on the camera and film with that. But having this the nice clean audio really does make a huge difference, and it's not that difficult to put the two together afterwards, but that is another step.
Do they generally have a dedicated sound engineer?
The festivals I go to?
Uh-huh.
They have done in the last three, yeah.
So the good thing to do is get a hold of that person as early as you can and ask them what it would take for you to get the soundboard recording of your performance. Often they will have all the gear that's necessary right there and they can just give it to you. Some will do it for free. Some might want a few bucks or whatever, you know. But I would get a hold of them as early as you can to try to arrange that. And then, yeah, like Philip says, arrange, you know, the videoing trade off with someone else that's performing. And then you can just sync up your video with the soundboard and there you go.
Yeah. Legends.
The simplest thing is, if you trust this person, you give them your phone, they film with your phone, they give you their phone, you film them with theirs. That's the simplest. That way you won't, there's no transferring of files. You know, you do that later. Yeah. And you can set your phone up the way you like to have it as far as the quality is concerned, and that you know you have enough space. If it's a long concert, you might want to delete some files off of there to have the room. But yeah, I'm all about find out the highest quality setting that your device can do and make sure you have enough room for the whole show on it. Those are the two, and battery power, of course. Those are the three things. No, there's a fifth thing. No, but those things are really important, because you can't come back from no battery. You can't come back from no space and and quality you can come back from, but you don't want to. You want to start with the best quality you can, and then because it's going to go down from there.
I think that if you can get a decent, you know, iPhone shot the files and the sound files and get them over to Philip, I'm sure for a reasonable price, he can put together a nice little promo package for you.
That I like you could, to do that.
That you could, yeah, it's that's his specialty there. So you could create a little sales page on your website that's got the video, a little bit of description, and you know how I link to the map in every single email I send out. You could link to that page in every single email you send out. And at the bottom, it's just got to fill in your information. Where do you live? You know, get in touch with me and we'll talk about it more.
That's awesome. Ooh, that's a fun project for me. Thanks.
Yeah, it's really about, you know, it's another opportunity to build a relationship with the sound engineer. I when I was shooting weddings, for example, I was all about finding out who the DJ was, getting to know them. I was a lunatic. I would find out what kind of mixing board they had, so I knew exactly what kind of cable, so that they already knew me when I showed up. I just plugged in, and we were good to go, and we were all, you know, old pals by the end of the night.
Oh, cool. Thank you very, very much. That was really sweet of you, Philip.
It's my pleasure. I love doing this stuff.
Oh. So it sounds like you got a lot of homework.
Thank you.
Laid out for you.
Thanks. I got my ideas now. I'm ready to run. See ya.
Cool. Well, hopefully you'll stick around for the rest of class and see what other ideas come up. But definitely I look forward to the fruit from the fruit of this to ripen. So
thanks.
Cool. All right. John, it looks like you were the other one here before I was. What did you win over the last couple of weeks?
Well, let's see. I cleaned my room.
Nice. I made a complete mess of mine, so I'm going to show
well,
that.
Well, mine was a complete mess. It had to be cleaned. I guess the big thing was I went to the CDB conference last weekend. That was probably the biggest thing.
Right on. Did you see Alex there?
No. You know what? The only person I was able to meet there was Suzanne. I found out after the fact I missed an opportunity to meet up with fellow Music Launch Hubbers, which I was kind of bummed out about, so I'm not gonna let that happen next year. But I did get to meet Suze in person and have a little coffee with her. That was pretty cool.
Yada?
No, Polinsky.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm the Rockstar Advocate. She was another one of the Music Launch Hub
right
from last year. So
right on. How was it?
It was great. It was great. And the whole time I was there, I couldn't help but think, man, Carlos really needs to speak at this thing next year.
Think they'd have me?
Yeah, I totally think so. You should totally go for it. I think you would pack the room.
Right on. I should try.
Yeah, because I mean honestly most of the takeaways I got from the conference, with a couple of exceptions, was that most of what the presentations were about, a lot of it is stuff that we're learning in the map.
Right on.
You know, I mean, there were a few other detailed things, but by and large, you know, more often than not, I thought to myself, yeah, this is consistent and in alignment with what we're learning in the map. And I'm just going to stay the course with what we're doing here with Carlos and see where it goes.
Right on. I will hit up my connections at CD Baby and see if maybe I can arrange that for next year.
Oh, totally, man. You should. You should. I encourage you wholeheartedly to do it.
Cool.
I think what you would have to say would go over extraordinarily well.
Sweet. It would be fun. I've been meaning to try to get more involved in that sort of stuff. I did that one thing in Salt Lake here in March, but I've been focused on the maps but for the rest of the year. But once this is done in the next couple months, that is definitely the sort of thing I should pursue. Cool.
Yeah, go for it.
What else is going on with you? What questions do you have?
Another big takeaway that I got from going to the conference, it was kind of like a double-edged sword, because it came at a good time, because I really needed to get my batteries recharged, because I was starting to get a little burned out. I've been at this for a year, meaning my pursuit of the holy grail of being a successful musician, it's only been for about a year since I've really been working at it 24/7, 365. And I started to get a little overwhelmed and burned out. So the conference kind of came at the right time for me to get my batteries recharged. But then at the same time, I got home and I was just like, there's so much I want to do. And I'm still a little bit overwhelmed trying to figure out what to focus on for right. What's the one thing that I should focus on or not? And I'll be honest with you, the music's taken a hit. Music has taken a hit. And every time I set out like, okay, today's the day that I'm going to finish this song. Well, then it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. 'Cause something else happens. Or, you know, even I'll put it in writing. It still won't happen. Mm-hmm. You know? And so it's like, I'm a little stuck. The other thing is I'm really anxious to get out and do live shows. You would think that in Nashville, that wouldn't be a problem. But, unless you're going to go show up at a writer's night or an open mic, which that can be done, you know, it just doesn't seem that easy to find gigs, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, I can get gigs. I've done a little bit of research, but some of the places, you know, you have to pay the production cost or whatever. So you have to make sure you can bring people in the door to pay the cover charge to offset the cost of the production cost. And all this other kind of stuff. And it's kind of like, again, it just overwhelms me. Because I don't think it'd be that hard for me to form a band and go do this stuff. But to try to get on a bill with other bands, I don't know. I mean, it's like I'll go to shows, but there's not a lot of opportunity to network with the other bands. So I don't know. I'm just kind of stuck in general at the moment.
Is there any news with that Afton situation?
No, I kind of forgot about it actually, but, I was reminded about it. And so I decided to try something just to try it. I went in the other day on my email program and, tried to figure out how many people on my list live in Tennessee. And I was able to, it took a lot of time because I had to enter their state information manually, but I got it done. And, so then I segmented it and I made a list of just Tennessee people. And I emailed them yesterday and I was just honest with them. I feel like I kind of used it as, let's see what happens. I'll learn from it and maybe it'll strengthen some relationships. So what have I got to lose? So I sent out an email to them last night, just the people that live in Tennessee. And I just laid it out there for them. It's like, hey, I've got an opportunity to do this show with this other band. And there's one other band on the bill that's traveling with them. You know, this is the date, tickets are this much. On a scale of 1 to 5, how likely would you be to want to come to the show? And I gave them the transparent truth about it which is I've got to report back to the booking agency and let them know how many tickets I think I can sell. I figured, like I said, I had nothing to lose by doing that. So I figured, why not just go right to the fans and ask them?
Yeah, that's great. I'd love to hear what they said about that. That's brilliant. So
I got like 4 or 5 responses right away. Uh-huh. A couple of them said they wouldn't be able to come, but at least they responded. And then I did have one friend, fan, that said she didn't think she would come, but she'd be happy to purchase a ticket and donate the ticket, which was kind of a nice thing. So I'll have to, after class is over here, I'll have to check the email and see if anybody else has answered. But the thing about it is though, there's 77 people on the Tennessee list, but probably half of those have never opened a single email I've sent them. So that's really, and this show, I have to sell 35 tickets. That's what my commitment has to be. So if there's only 35 people on the list that live in Tennessee that have even opened one of my emails in the first place, probably not likely that all 35 of them are gonna come to the show. So I may end up just having to turn it down and use this as a statistical measure to be like, okay, well, out of this, I had this many people respond and this many people said they would go. So that just means I need to have, I could just have, need to just like scale it and extrapolate it to where I have to get to the point where I have like 500 people from Tennessee on my email list to make the percentages work. And I'll just use it as a learning experience. If I have to turn down the show, I turn down the show, big deal. Right. But maybe that's how I'm going to use this to move forward. What do you guys think?
I like that. That's smart.
Yeah, okay. That makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. Again, now you know. Now you've got a number. That's your target for Tennessee to do this show next year or whatever. Next time one comes around like that. I mean, yeah, because definitely 2 out of 77 isn't 35. It'll never be.
Right, right. And I reread some more of the show terms, and it looks like Afton has actually improved their artist payouts. Because I don't know if it's the case for this specific show, but I was reading some more basic terms yesterday, and they've changed it now to where if most shows, if they're just putting the bill together and it's not part of a national tour, that they put like 6 artists on the bill, and they make each artist commit to a minimum of like 20 tickets or something like that. And if you sell the 20 tickets, you make $50 plus $3 a ticket, which is way better than what they used to pay when I did my first show with them back in 2012 or whatever that was. So that kind of made me feel better about Afton. I don't know if that would be the case this show, but even if I sold 35 tickets and got $3 a ticket and made, you know, $105 to play for 30 minutes, that ain't bad, right? And if it is $50 on top of that, that's even better. So it looks like Afton has gotten better in terms of the artist side of it. So, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is if it doesn't work out this year and I spend the next year, however long, just doing what Carlos is teaching, mm-hmm. I'll be in a better position to respond to something like this if they invite me again.
Sure, and one of the things you kind of want to focus on is getting those local subscribers. So. Right. You know, this is something you could do when you go to those songwriters nights, you know, that, yeah, you play your song, but then you spend the rest of the time hanging out with people and getting their email addresses.
Yeah, that might be a good way to do it, is to start going back to the open mic nights,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not really a dedicated audience, because a lot of times some of the venues, they're sitting there eating dinner, talking with the people at their table, and they're not paying attention at all to what the performers on the stage doing.
Like the Commodore?
Yeah, I actually haven't played the Commodore yet. But there have been some others that I've played, like Back Alley Diners one, which is actually a really good venue that I'd like to play at. But it's also a bar and grill, so people are there eating dinner while the songwriter night's going on. So it's not like you have like a captive audience, like if I was playing at the Listening Room Cafe, where they make you quiet.
Part of that process then is identifying which venues are will work for that.
Yeah.
And then focusing on playing those venues as much as you can, because you're going to have ones that are all tourists that just, you're not going to, there aren't going to be through town again anyway. Then you're going to have ones, where was it? I went to the Red Barn, Red Back, I don't know, it was somewhere kind of out in the middle, nowhere outside of town. It was weird. Out of like 14 performers, 12 of them had roots in Utah.
Interesting.
That was a trip for me to see. But other than that, it was like a biker bar. So,
yeah.
But yeah, they're all over Nashville, but you have the ones that are either, tourists that are just coming through. You have ones that are only other songwriters, are just there, you know, seeing each other play. And then you'll have ones where locals actually hang out and will find people that they connect with. So you kind of got to identify which venues are like that and then focus all your efforts on those venues. And then focus your efforts when you play those venues on developing that local email list and building relationships there. So of course that takes a little bit more research, but you've already got the right mindset on figuring out which numbers matter and where to go. So I just want to throw that out there as a strategy you can look towards pursuing. So if you do well with it by this time next year, yeah, you'll be able to say, oh, I just sent out this email, I got 50 people that'll show up for the show if you hire me. Yeah. And then if it's true, even better, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, that definitely helps. That definitely helps. Yes?
All of the recent things that I've played recently, I don't know if it's the same in the States or not, I haven't brought any people to the show, they've already been there for something else. It was either been a food festival or a beer festival or a cider festival, and I've just been the entertainment. Would you want to do anything like that? Or are you trying to do your own show at a venue? Like, is there another...
Do you have, like, farmers markets and stuff?
We do, actually.
That have music? That's...
Yeah, we do have a farmers market, just a little bit north of downtown.
Those are the people that will still be in the neighborhood for the most part. Like, if they have music, I'd get in on that sort of thing, too, like Linz is saying.
That's a good idea, because there is. I've been to the farmers market downtown, and they have live music there. So, duh. Here we go. There we go. Yeah, I would love to play... Dude, there's gazillions of festivals in Nashville. I just don't know how to get in on them. But I would love to play them.
So,
you know what? I'd do a whole set of cover tunes if that's what they wanted, just to get... I feel like the first year, I did a really good job, you know, like going back to the fact of what I said at the beginning of this conversation about how it's been about a year since I've worked at this, you know, every day, you know, working on building my career full time. And I feel like I've done a good job this year of putting the basic infrastructure in place with all the business stuff. And now I'm really antsy to go out and perform so I can get the live show as part of my bag of tricks. And I don't have to do it on Facebook Live all the time. I can actually be with people that are there and not on the computer. Right. So I would love to get in on that stuff.
So yeah, get creative about pursuing that stuff in the local area. Doesn't necessarily have to be the more traditional venues, you know, and the places that will have built-in crowds are even better. Just make sure to capitalize on those ones to get them on your email list. And that gives you the leverage you need with Afton to really start getting paid on some of those gigs.
Okay. That's a good idea. I'll check out the farmer's market, see what I need to do to book a good show there.
Yeah. Every dipstick town in Ohio has a farmer's market that'll let you come and play. So I'm sure you can check out Hendersonville and Cool Springs and the other suburbs around there too.
Maybe I just need to go to Ohio and tour.
I didn't say they paid anything. I get a chicken dinner sometimes.
Farmer's Market Tour 2018. That's what they'll say on the back of the t-shirt.
Yeah, make a whole thing out of it.
Well, in my case, I needed experience playing out again. I used to play out all the time, and I just kind of got out of the habit. So actually, stuff like that has been very helpful for me. Cool. So it's not paying anything, but the next time every time I show up, I sound a little better and have a better idea of what the crowd expects.
But at a farmer's market, if people are going there to buy stuff, and if you have one of those card readers that Carlos tells us, I've just bought mine, Elaine, the sum up's coming. But if you can have your little piano case open, tips there, get your CDs out and your merch, people want to buy them, then you could still make some money there, even if you're not getting paid.
Right.
Plus you meet people. Face-to-face, that has huge value.
Well, that would, of course, then necessitate actually having said t-shirts and CDs and stuff like that to actually sell.
There's that.
There you go.
Start with a short run of some, you know, CDs and sleeves, you know, that doesn't cost a bunch to get printed up and go from there.
Okay.
You sell enough, that's enough to invest in some, you know, new merch and just work your way up from there instead of throwing a bunch of money at it up front. You don't need a whole get up to get started. Just need a few CDs.
So do CDs first before t-shirts?
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
That's good advice, because I was kind of wondering, okay, because I did the sticker thing, which has been very well received for those of you that don't know, that the first thing I got was stickers made, and anybody who signs up on my mailing list gets a sticker. So that turns out that was pretty well received.
Yeah, and the logo is super cool. The logo will be great on a t-shirt.
Yeah, so that was the next thing I was wondering. Okay, well, if I'm going to take the next step up, what do I do? So it's good that you advised the next thing to be the CD.
CDs. So use the CDs to buy a run of t-shirts, or go through Teespring and do a crowdfunded t-shirt with the logo. You could do that through your email list, and that way the t-shirts aren't printed until all the money is collected. So instead of you buying a bunch up front you just, people put in their orders, and when you hit a certain number of orders, they'll print them for you and send them out. So you end up, you know, ends up costing you a little bit more per t-shirt than getting a, you know, good run from a screen printer, but none of it comes out of your pocket up front.
Okay, something else to add to the to-do list.
Yeah, I'd buy one of those t-shirts right now. So if you do want to get some t-shirts out there, that's a way to do it without coming out of pocket.
Yeah, but you just said, so that would be crowdfunded by the people on my email list, but then I still have to get extra t-shirts to sell at these live shows.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be part of that plan.
Okay, so I'll
that would just be to get some t-shirts out there. I'm just saying, I was just thinking about me and how I might get a t-shirt on my back right now, kind of for selfish reasons. And I was like, well, if you did that, I could get a t-shirt and you wouldn't have to come out of pocket for it.
So I'd be honored if you wore a John Ross t-shirt.
Yeah. So, and then in the meantime, if you've got some CDs that you're selling or whatever, and you raise a little bit of money and you do, and you can, you know, get some of your own out of the cold crowdfunding thing, cause, you know, and just by foregoing your profit on it, you might have a few to sell, you know, and see how quick they go. If you have a few, you know, like if you get like a screen printer, you know, they're going to have like a minimum run of like 40 or whatever.
Right.
Another place to look to check with though is Punk Rock Clothing.
Yeah, I remember from last time.
Cool, yeah. They don't have any minimums or setup fees even.
Okay.
Name's Kelly. Oh, yeah, Kelly Randolph. He's a Schwilly kid, not a mapper yet, but I know that they do offer sweet deal. They do it cheaper than they probably should, so that's a place to look at. But yeah, so don't sweat the t-shirts for the merch kit just yet. Just worry about the CDs first. If you wanted to get some t-shirts out there now, you could do something like through Teespring, and maybe just if you felt like it, order a couple extras so that you would have a couple, and if they go real quick, you know, and then you'll know that it's worth maybe investing in some more.
Yeah.
But
so I guess it's time to call up disc makers and find out how much to produce a bunch of CDs.
Yeah, and go with the sleeves over the jewel cases, right. especially if that saves you money. It should save you money. I've heard of places where it doesn't, where it costs more with sleeves, but that shouldn't be the case. Yeah, shop around because no one needs jewel cases anymore.
Right.
There's no reason for you to spend that money.
Okay.
So, cool. Sounds like you got a lot of work laid out for you too.
Definitely have some homework for sure.
So, yeah. So, make sure to cut that 50-50, cut out your work time as you plan weekly. 50-50. Only allow yourself 50% of your time to work on business stuff. Spend the rest of that time, working on music.
All right. Yeah, Ari was one of the speakers at the conference, by the way. Ari Herstand.
Right on. Cool.
Yeah, that was one of the things he brought up, was the 50-50 rule.
Sweet.
So.
That's crucial so you don't get lost in business.
Yeah, because that's kind of what has happened. I found myself, I just feel a constant magnetic pull over to the business side.
Yeah, there's enough business stuff to do to occupy whatever amount of time you'll be willing to give it. So. It's more important to set limits on that time and stick with them because you'll fill that time regardless.
I find if I'm spending too much time on business, I'm actually procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
yep.
It's actually overtly procrastinating because there's something I don't want to do on the music side. So actually, yeah. I have to kick my own ass.
Yeah, I kind of started feeling that way myself.
Yeah.
Know what you mean. And obviously, there's a reason why I'm shying away from doing something musically, which makes no sense whatsoever, does it? With what we all do. We're all musicians, right? So that makes no sense that we would ever shy away from doing what we are passionate about doing. It's a real head scratcher, isn't it? I don't know. All right, I'll figure it out. Thanks,
cool.
Guys.
Right on. All right, Elaine, what did you win in the last couple weeks?
The first time in a long time, it's just been a very quiet 2 weeks. I'm back in the studio trying to fix the soundtrack because it's just, I don't know what's gone wrong. It's just the strings aren't sounding like the strings are supposed to be sounding. So I'm back kind of twiddling with that. I have a couple of things lined up. I have a publicist who is kind of helping me with going to do the promotion for the book and the soundtrack. So I have to work on that. I've a little bit of homework at work, as in the day job has just been fucking bonkers and in a not a good way. So in terms of the procrastination, it's a case of I come home and I just want to cry. So the music has been kind of helping in that respect. I got two pretty good reviews for the book to start putting into it. So thanks, John. And if they're catching the replay, thanks, Tom. So Lynn's, you're next up.
I'm on it.
And then Carlos, of course, but I know what a fast reader he is.
I'll get there. Probably in September sometime I'll finish it.
So the other thing, I suppose it's not necessarily a win, but it's a bit of a progression. I'm going back to orchestra on Saturday for the day. I'll be starting back again in January, but I'm no longer a cellist. I've been upgraded to violist.
Wait, that's an upgrade?
It's downsizing, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so then you don't have to carry so much around.
That's exactly one thing, because I've just managed to organize the boot of my car. I have, like, a rail to hold all the boxes in, because I've got books and CDs. Yeah, I'm the typical kind of selling the books out of my boot of my car. So I've got various different bits and pieces and, you know, notebooks, and I used to have my wetsuit in it, but I've just a load of towels and swimsuit now if I go surfing. So I have to take all of that out to try and fit the cello in. So it's like, you know what? Fiola will just fit in the space that's there. It's perfect. I could end up doing the piccolo yet. It'll be nice and handy to play. So that's the, I suppose it's a bit of a win in that it's a whole new instrument, a whole new challenge. So we'll see how we go with that. So
cool.
Other than that, I've been actually pretty quiet. I got a new baby, as in a fur baby.
Oh, what kind?
She's another rescue, but she's kind of ginger calico.
A cat?
Like, oh, yeah. Okay,
they make lots of babies out of fur nowadays.
Yes, they do. But no, like this
a chinchilla? Could have been a chinchilla.
Oh, God, no. I'd never get a dog. Don't worry about that.
Chinchilla.
What's a chinchilla?
It's not a dog.
What's a chinchilla?
It's a chinchilla.
It was like, what, a rat with a tail or something? I don't know.
Chinchilla.
She's right. That's what it is.
It's a rat with a long tail or something.
It's kind of like,
a rat.
It's like a really mean fuzzy hamster.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hamster with Dumbo ears.
That would actually be perfect toy for the fur babies here to play with.
Yeah. Cool.
So that, yeah, no, it's been, yeah, uncharacteristic of me, but it's been a very quiet 2 weeks. It's just like, it's my two long weeks in work. So by the time I get home, it's like 7 o'clock. I have actually gone back and I've done 3 days worth of insanity workouts. So that's a plus. I know. Thanks, Lynn.
Insanity.
Yeah.
Was that where you're running on your trampoline?
No, this is actually all resistance, floor body work.
I resist working out a lot.
Yeah, I would like to resist it, but my body's resisting losing all the weight it needs to drop at the moment, so something had to go. I have to admit, though, I mean, it's a bit of a personal win because it's been tough for the last couple of weeks. There's been a bad couple of days. Yeah, the good news is my music scorebook, I should have it tomorrow. I'm after getting a proof copy of the scorebook, so I'll have that ready for the concert next year. And I'm scheduled to go down to Waterford to meet with the girl who's helping me organize this and put the grant funding together. And I've been told I'm going to be practicing on the piano on the Sunday I go down. So yeah, I'm going to video that. So we'll have that as a bit of the promo and everything for it. Oh, do you want to meet the new fur baby?
Yep.
Woo! Hi, fur baby.
That's this is definitely Bambi. A cat.
Yeah, it's Bambi. She's kind of silly. So she's baby number three, and we are having integration issues at the moment. So yeah, it's been fun.
Are the other cats nationalists?
No, and they're not white supremacy either, so we're good. Because one is nearly all black, and the other is gray tabby. It's just they're all rescues, and they all kind of came in here thinking this place was their forever home, which it is, but they were not expecting company.
Ah.
So, yeah, we're in the first 2 weeks. It takes about 3 to 4 weeks for new cats to kind of get used to each other. So I only have 2 more weeks of this madness.
We hope.
Hissing and growling and spitting at each other to go. So hopefully we'll be okay.
Cool.
So that's the only exciting, really exciting thing, is stopping cat fights for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I had 3 daughters, so I did that for 18 years.
And then when they bring girlfriends home and then they start fighting with them about, you know, 2 months later, and it's all hissing, growling, spitting, hair pulling. And then 2 weeks after that, they're all best of friends again. Yeah.
Cool. Right on. Well, I'm sure you could have, you had a lot going on there for the previous month or so. So it takes, you know, kind of got to decompress a little bit after that sort of period of productivity.
Yeah, well, I've got vacations booked for 2 weeks' time anyway, so I'm going up to, I think I was telling you this the last time because John was taking the piss out of how I pronounced it, but Donegal. Means it got swept away from Gale, what is it, Hurricane Gale or something? Hurricane.
You have hurricanes there?
We get the tail end of your shit, yes. Thank you very much for sending it our way.
You get our leftovers.
We appreciate it, yeah. So, you know, you poor Houston's all underwater. It's like Donegal has actually, half of Donegal has just been washed away. So, yeah, we feel really sorry for you guys right about now.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, oh, Paul's making a very serious face.
What's that? Donegal's a lovely place.
A couple of villages have actually been nearly wiped out of it, so from the last hurricane. So, and literally all we're getting is just the tail end of your stuff that comes across the Atlantic. So, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be okay.
Right on.
We'll do what we always do. We just pick ourselves up and keep going.
Cool.
So that's all from me for the moment.
What's up? What's new with you, Tam? Timmy 2, Timbo, it can be my Timbo. Tim got approved as an Uber driver. Cool, school started. I couldn't get approved as an Uber driver. You have to have a car that's like less than 10 years old. I thought about that for a minute, and my car is like 13 years old. So, cool. Right on. Any wins, Tim? Good with diet and exercise? Nice. I need to get back on that. I've definitely let it go over the last couple of weeks. And you've got vocals recorded for a song in a contest. Sweet. We'll look forward to hearing about that next time. Yeah, so by next week, we may have new office hours times. We'll see. I'm just, like I said, getting through my emails and getting caught up with everything. So I should have a poll up in the next couple of days for the next office hours times in the Facebook group. I'll send an email when that's up, and then we can all decide what'll work for everybody. And then I'll probably change every quarter, every 3 months or so. That way some of these people that haven't been able to come live won't get left out for the entirety of their lives. So yeah, good job, Tim, there. And let's see who's next. Did someone leave?
Yeah, Philip.
Oh, Philip. Okay. What about you, Paul? What did you win recently?
Well, of course, I posted my most recent win, which was getting a concert slot and a place where I was just going to be kind of filling in. That was fun. For the rest of it, I get most of my fulfillment by just hanging out on the Schwilly family and making sardonic comments on other people's stuff.
Cool. We always appreciate that.
We love you for that, Paul.
Yeah, love that cartoon. If anybody didn't see the cartoon he just posted in the chat, check that out. It's perfect.
Yeah. That's kind of sums up my life right now.
Well, yeah, I still have a normal job, and I keep walking away, not because I'm mad at you, but because I'm having to check my email on my work computer, which I seriously left 8 foot away instead of moving it next over here when this started. So that's my fault. I'm just, as you know, I moved recently and I'm still getting a lot of things settled in. So I'm not making rapid progress, but I do appreciate everybody's encouragement. And once in a while, if I can add something that doesn't confuse or humiliate people and might even help them a little bit, I like to do that too, because I've been doing this since the 60s. So.
Right on. I always appreciate your responses to my emails. You've always got some great insight to add. So cool. Hopefully I should be getting those out again soon too. Oh, today I'm probably going to send a quick one about that. What's that? That new summit that I'm on, that the Adrian, I don't know, that she put together, another Schwilly kid. So yeah, well, I'll be back on later today for anyone that wants to join in again to make up for last night. We'll see who joins. It's great to see so many people showing up today. But last couple weeks, it's been kind of not that many people, but some more in-depth conversations. So either way is always good. But does anyone want to have anything else they want to bring up before we end for this early session? Cool.
Thanks for everything.
Yeah.
Thanks a bunch.
Good stuff. Thanks for being here, everybody. I'll post the replay in a little bit, and I'll see anyone at 6 tonight that wants to show up.
And, you mean at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yep. If you're still up at 1, feel free to show up again.
It depends whether I go get a bottle of red wine now, in which case I may actually be up, and the conversation would be exceptionally interesting.
I'm sure it will be. It always is.
It was the last time.
Yep. Cool. Well, I will, I'll get this up as soon as I can. In the meantime, I'm going to try to dig myself out of this hole that I'm in with work getting through. I got like 165 emails to get through. So we'll see if I can finish that today. Otherwise, I'll talk to you guys all soon.
All right. See you guys. Later.